5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Budweiser Event Center for preview day. Kind of, it's a media day all over the place. The writers are now jumping up into the media area here, so they've left me alone. But it was really cool to be out there checking all this stuff out for the AMA Arena Cross Championship coming up tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Reminder, Hulligans, call Budweiser Event Center. Tell them, the ticket office, tell them you heard about the deal on the whole show, and your kids might get in free. I got 50 tickets set aside. I have no idea if they're gone. I have no idea how many we have left. So do call in to the Budweiser Event Center and say, hey, heard about you guys on the whole show. Are there kids' tickets still available? Dude, if you have like 4 or 5 kids, you're probably going to save upwards of like almost $100, man. So this is a huge deal. Take advantage of it. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. Okay, Angel, a little somewhat breaking news here. Is the game going to happen? We're just seeing this. Adam Schefter believes the NFL will not look to resume the Bengals versus Bills game. You just sent me that tweet. And that the league is working towards either a potential neutral site AFC championship or one seed choosing between getting or having a bye or home field with two seed getting whatever's not picked. Angel, elaborate for me on that. Be my guy here. Translation here. What does that mean necessarily? So we could potentially, the first round guy could get the home field advantage, and then the second would get the bye or something like that. We might split what the benefits are of being the number one seed.
Yeah, and this is still kind of confusing now. Obviously, we have another week of games to be settled in terms of seeding and playoff clinching scenarios and stuff like that. But this sounds like the simplest solution, I guess. It's obviously not going to be easy for anybody or any of these teams. But this is a big decision. We've been kind of waiting on this. Obviously, with DeMar getting healthier, it seems okay to talk about this now. But then we saw just a bit ago, AP News, AP NFL, saying the game will not be resumed between the Bills and Bengals.
It just seems to be the easiest at this point. And don't resume the game and then play it out this weekend and then see where it sits. That's what I'm thinking, is you just let the weekend play out. Who knows? It might work out for the Chiefs anyway. So let the weekend play out. And then if you really think that you need to, I don't know, call the Chiefs, call the Bills, call the Bengals and say, hey, here's what it looks like. If the Bills would have won that game against the Bengals, then they would have had the first round bye. Do you talk to the Chiefs organization and say, hey, do we come to an agreement here? One team gets the first round bye, and then one team gets the home field advantage throughout. Like, do you think that that's kind of fair? I mean, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And I know home field advantage is important. I know the first round bye is important, but given the circumstances, maybe they come together and split this thing up and the perks of being the number one seed actually get split up. So I don't know, but it sounds like the game's not going to happen. So then it just depends on, you know, what these teams want to do. That they just let it sit where it sits, look at the winning percentages, and away we go, and leave it at that. All right, 9 minutes after the hour, let's talk a little Nuggets. My poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. If the Nuggets don't make it to at least the Western Conference Finals, should Michael Malone be on the hot seat? I'm not saying should he be fired, but should he be on the hot seat? We'll talk to Brendan Vogt about that next of DNVR Nuggets. Also, McKenna Hofschild coming up from the Colorado State women's team. They got a big one tonight against Utah State. Well, actually, a bigger one against New Mexico. So we'll talk to her about that coming up next. Brendan Vogt first, then McKenna Hofschild. A lot still to go here on the whole show, live from the Budweiser Event Center. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Whole show, PDC Energy, live on location at the Budweiser Event Center previewing the big AMA Arena Cross Championship happening here tomorrow night. This is a heck of an event. Very cool. They turned this event center into a wild arena cross track. It's gonna be absolutely nuts. So it's cool to be out here. We're talking a lot of different things today. We've been all over the map, but we're happy to get this guy on the show. Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. He's our Nuggets insider. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you, brother.
Happy New Year, Brady. How you doing, man? Been a minute.
I'm doing good. It's good to catch up. I was off for a little bit the last week or so, but it's good to get back into the mix. And, hey, this Nuggets team, I know they lost on the back-to-back to Minnesota, but, hey, they also had a 30-minute delay where dudes are trying to fix a basketball rim or a basket up there the other day. That was hilarious. I felt for those guys, man. The pressure was on.
Man, they were so close to delivering the best and most feel-good win of the season. And they just had to keep their focus for what seemed like 5-6 more minutes. That turned out to be 36-plus minutes, as you pointed out. Ridiculous. Never seen anything like it. But they did hold their focus, and Malone was pleased with that. And a win that, I guess this is easy to say from an optimist perspective, but a win that I think says more about the team than the loss that followed the next night.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, you go in a back-to-back, and it was a longer night than expected. And I think even, you know, guys were sprinting out there to get on the plane and get going. But you look at this game, though, going back to the Boston game, you're right. That game's more important than what the Minnesota game showed, at least for now. We'll see what happens against the Clippers tonight. But you win 123-111. That win and the way they did it certainly at least opens up the conversation of, okay, are the Nuggets in the conversation, not just the best in the West, but maybe the best team in the NBA right now?
Sure, and, you know, Boston now in a bit of a tailspin of their own. They went out and lost to OKC without Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and gave up 150 in regulation in their next outing. So it's they're kind of dealing with what Denver was dealing with, you know, at the very start of the season. Okay, they look like a talented outfit. They can beat anyone, but they're taking their feet off the gas. And I think that's something Denver is maybe kind of rounding into form with right now. We've seen a little more discipline. It's harder to say after that Wolves loss, but they seem to be trending in the right direction. My ultimate point here is I think you're looking at a league where no one team has really taken up that mantle. There's four or five teams that could beat anyone, but no one looks to be that fully polished buzzsaw that sometimes exists in the NBA. I don't think you can pick a title winner yet, and of course there was a time and an era when sometimes we knew that well by Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's what I love. I wondered if this was going to happen a few years ago. I remember kind of talking about it, saying, man, the way these stars are starting to spread out, it's not that we're not getting superstar teams joining forces and such, but you are seeing guys, you know, set up camp in their own place rather than Giannis and Luka saying, hey, dude, let's join forces. They're building up their own teams around them that, you know, that benefit them the most. And we're seeing all these great teams with a lot of great players, which I just think this is the best time to be an NBA fan. We don't know who the clear-cut winner is. We don't know who it's going to be because there are so many players playing at an outstanding level, and they're not on the same team. So it's spread wide open, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think there are as many talented players in as many different markets as ever, to your point. Now, we've seen some incredible score lines this season. Some of those factors are good ones, fun ones. Some are a little more maybe detrimental to the health of the game. For example, I think it's virtually impossible to play defense right now. It's illegal for all but save like 6-7 guys in this league, in my opinion, and somewhat reputation-based. So it's very, very difficult to slow these stars. But another part of it, to the point that you were just making, another factor is there's simply so many of them. And it used to be, you know, look, there were 3-4 teams you feared. Now it's if you're not focused, you're going to lose to a lot of these teams, or a star is going to light you up. So there's a lot of talent around the league. What's been fun, though, from the Denver perspective is I don't know if anyone looks definitively more talented than Denver. It's not a lock. Doesn't mean they're going to win it all. But I think you like where they're sitting, at least I do, here in January.
That's a great point about the scoring, too. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, and he's had many years where you go, okay, he's one of the best players, but he's not top five right now, and then he just goes off for 71 points. So, I mean, right. These guys are throwing crazy seeing Luka do amazing things. But you're seeing guys like 60 points and a triple-double. I mean, these numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, the Donovan Mitchell line you just mentioned, I think what's going under the radar is that was two rebounds away from being a 71-point triple-double, which maybe tells us something about how we should view these stat lines. You know, as much as I appreciate all the talent around the league, at a certain point, 40 probably starts to mean something different than it used to, right? If it's this attainable. Bring it back to Denver again, though. What's been really cool and what we're so used to is, okay, there's all these guys who have these remarkable peaks, you know, the perfect storm of circumstances, including the factors we just discussed, set up these historic, you know, outbursts or electric outbursts. And then with Jokic, it's, yeah, we've seen the high peak lines, but it's just that it's there every single night. It's remarkable consistency. And so his greatness is not predicated on or attached to these, man, you got to see that on ESPN the next day performances, although he has plenty of those as well. It's really about the, man, every single night he's hitting his baseline right now. And it's the number one reason why the Nuggets have seemingly turned a corner.
Yeah, no question. He's not having those near misses anymore. He's getting those triple doubles. He's moving the charts again. Maybe he'll pass the game. Yeah, that game is awesome. 30-12 as well. I mean, he should have a number of weeks. I mean, I do have teams that I cover. I keep getting people saying, dude, where's the issue? Where's the UNC guys? The CU Bucks? And, like, Joker is just he's the player of the week every week. And they said, dude, he's going to be. Just make it somebody else. Good he is. He's going to be the player of the week every week because he's that freaking good.
He's kind of at that place now where the, you know, player of the month went to Luka, and I'm not going to complain. First of all, Luka's up to some stuff that Jokic was up to last year. Not really injuries, but no co-stars on that roster. So he's been incredible. But also just I'm at the point where, yeah, you could make a case for him every week, every month. So I almost don't even care about the award anymore. And, of course, the fun thing is we know Jokic doesn't care at all as long as the wins are coming in.
No question. I mean, that's one of the things hearing about him is he just doesn't care. All right, how about the supporting cast? Obviously, Aaron Gordon has the level right now. He's played one of his better seasons. Certainly here is a Nugget. Him and Joker are really connecting. It's good to see Porter back in the mix. Where are you with Jamal Murray at this point? I mean, I know he's been recovering from that injury. You're waiting for this guy to get back to what we saw even close to the bubble. But Jamal's kind of, for better or worse, he's more of an inconsistent player. Is he just a guy, Brendan, or do you see Jamal still possessing the superstar quality that we saw a few years ago back in the bubble?
I think it's one of the biggest questions about the Nuggets right now. And, you know, a lot of people have big rotation questions, and perhaps the simplest solution is that Jamal plays better, right? Like, he spent a lot of minutes with the bench, and those minutes are not going well. Now, I've argued in favor of changing that up, but an alternative perspective is, well, what's really wrong with keeping one of your two best players on the floor? Shouldn't he just play better? Jamal's kind of a funky player. You touched on it. We've seen the remarkable peaks. He's never really been a bastion of consistency, and it's why he's struggled to gain any sort of all-star momentum. That was true before the injury. That said, we have seen the sort of bottom line with Jamal, which is if it's a close game in the fourth, if he's missed 15 shots in a row, I'm still fine with him taking the next one. He knows what he's doing in crunch time, and that's a wondrous quality. But I think it's fair to hope for more, to ask for more. You know, he is too talented of a player to be a one-quarter impact type of guy. So, you know, his all-around impact, he's been kind of a better playmaker. That's great. But the reality is Denver needs him to be an aggressive and capable scorer, especially in those non-Jokic minutes. Now, this all sounds really aggressive. Like, they're the one seed out west. He's figuring it out. You know, I think he's been more helpful than hurtful. But you're right. Like, we're asking questions. We want to know where this team is at the end of the playoffs in June, not right now. And that would require, you know, a better version of Jamal to reach their goals. So I think it's about the time in the season he usually starts ramping up anyway. It would be a welcome sight here. It's one of the, you know, the defensive consistency is a big thing, but Jamal's consistency is kind of one of the few boxes this team has yet to check in terms of what you want to see in the regular season.
Brendan, this is probably a stupid question, a crazy question, but there's no conversation being had of what it would look like to trade Jamal Murray. Now, I personally look at it and go, then you just kind of hurt your depth. I mean, if you move on from Jamal, then Bones is moving up and whatever. But it's at least it's out there. I mean, you're paying him a lot of money. You want him to take that step. Is that even a thought in anybody's brain at that organization?
I mean, it's not something I've heard, you know. Definitely not something that's on record. It's really not something I've even heard off record, you know, which I wouldn't share with you anyway. But just to clarify, it's not a, like a hot topic conversation, you know. I think look, the simplest solution is just that he plays better. We know what Jamal's capable of, and we know the chemistry he has with Jokic. And furthermore, I think the identity of this team beyond Jokic's greatness. And Jamal is obviously an essential part of that. So I think that would be one of the last layers this team looks at in terms of how you change things up. You never know. You never know. I would say things would have to be going a lot worse than they are for that to really be on the table. This the last time Jamal was healthy in the playoffs, he certainly looked like a capable player on that stage. Whether it was in the bubble or not, he stepped it up. So I would assume there is some patience and benefit of the doubt in play here. You know, Jamal's earned that to some extent, for sure.
Brendan Vogt joining me from DNVR Nuggets. Last one for you, Brendan. My poll question today, and I've asked you this before, it's always worth recharging because we're feeling really good about the Nuggets right now. We're feeling like maybe, I mean, this team has just as good a shot as any to at least get to the finals, and then maybe we have this crazy battle between them and Boston. But there we go. There's kind of those expectations maybe that we think this team should be at least in the Western Conference Finals. If they don't get there, what does that mean for Michael Malone? You and I have had these conversations before of what that looks like. If they don't, my brain keeps going back to what Golden State did with Mark Jackson, and maybe that's an unfair comparison, but Mark Jackson kept getting this team into the playoffs, and they were good, and they revived that organization, couldn't get over the hump. Is that a similarity at all? Do you see some pressure mounting for Michael Malone this season and maybe into the next season if they don't reach at least the Western Conference Finals?
Well, sure. I mean, just think back to the start of December. They hadn't really notched a lot of these big wins. The defense had yet to trend up. You know, that Memphis kind of Christmas stretch really changed the whole vibe, and we weren't there yet. And gosh, that seat was warm. Maybe not internally, but in the world that you and I live in and in the world of fans, it was absolutely heating up. That's natural. Malone is, I think, the fourth longest tenured coach in the NBA, and that's he doesn't have a championship yet, right? So if you fail in what the front office has outlined as a championship or bust season, that's a conversation that happens. That's one of the first areas that's kind of natural to look at, right? If we think the team is good enough and they didn't get there, you absolutely look at the coach. You know, I think in the regular season context, Malone has earned almost all the benefit of the doubt, or at least Malone plus Jokic in this version of the Nuggets. They win a lot of games. But the questions have changed. The question is different this year. What can they do in the playoffs? And there's nothing he can do right now, right, to answer that question. There will be tough questions had if they fall well short. And listen, with good reason, like this team is good enough, and this league is open right now. So there's as much a reason right now to say it's the time, they got to go get this done, you know, as there's ever been.
Yeah, no question about it. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you. Always appreciate your insight on all things Denver Nuggets, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. I tell you what, Angel, we're not going to take a break because I know we have a superstar on hold, and you just don't leave superstars on hold, okay? We have McKenna Hofschild for CSU women's basketball. So, Angel, fire up McKenna. Let's get her on the line right now. McKenna, do I have you? Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm on location today. I'm at the Budweiser Event Center preparing for a big event, but wanted to make sure we got you on the program. You have just been flat out lighting it up. I mean, you've been a sensational basketball player your whole career, but man, McKenna, you are turning some crazy heads. 37 points against UNLV the other night. You are just rocking and rolling, and it's so much fun to watch you play.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, you guys got, and that was a tough battle. I know into overtime, back and forth with you and UNLV, and that's a good basketball team. I know you guys are a good basketball team, but those are the games you want in this conference, right? You know that this conference is good. They're full of great teams. You got a big one coming up this weekend. Obviously, we have tonight to talk about with Utah State, but that game against UNLV, that was every bit of as entertaining as we want as basketball fans. What was that game like for you, McKenna?
Yeah, it was so much fun. I think for us personally, we knew that that was a team that we kind of have to go through in this conference. They're ranked one. They won it last year. So we knew going into it that that was going to be a fun, hard-fought game. And it lived up to the hype. We wish we would have gotten that win, but we'll be ready next time. But, yeah, that was definitely a fun one to be a part of.
Well, and you were just – and, again, you're averaging 21 points per game. So you're at this point in your career where you could fall asleep and score 20. But then you throw in 37 points, 10 to 15. You get to the free throw line a lot. I think you got to the free throw line 20-plus times or something like that. But what was it in particular that game that you were scoring? We know you score a lot of baskets. That's nothing new to you. But this one in particular, you were unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't know. I was feeling it. I was feeling the energy. I think the environment and the atmosphere that we were part of just kind of helped me feed off of everything around it. And I was just trying to do my part to try and get the win, and things were going well. So it was just, like I said, it was just such a fun game. And playing against UNLV every time is just, you know, we're going to bring our best and they're going to bring their best.
No question about it. We're talking to McKenna Hofschild, CSU Rams women's basketball. They have been rocking and rolling this season. A couple of big games coming up in the next few days. Utah State tonight at 6 o'clock, and then New Mexico at home on Saturday. You know, obviously every game in the conference I know is big, and you're not overlooking anybody, but we know that New Mexico game is huge. It's going to be a part of a doubleheader for both you and the men's basketball team, too, so it's going to be a fun event. But how difficult is that to say, nope, got to lock into Utah State? We got to take care of this team first before we even think about New Mexico.
Yeah, I think we're just taking it one game at a time, so our focus is definitely on tonight in Utah State and getting this win, and then getting home later tonight and preparing for New Mexico. And I think Saturday will be so much fun. We're hoping to get two good wins for us and the men's and kind of get Moby rocking and start this conference season on a good note.
And you really have a mistake the other night, 64-58. You said you wanted to close that one out against UNLV, but that was a great game. Just going back again to that UNLV game, is it hard to be disappointed? I mean, I know you're disappointed. You want to win. You play these games to win. You're such a competitor. But, man, when you walk away from a game like that, 91-88, overtime, the environment's crazy, is there a part of you that's like, you know what, we lost, but, man, that was some fun basketball?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You're obviously disappointed you couldn't get the win, but just to be a part of a game like that and to have such a fun atmosphere and such a crowd that was involved in the game was it's awesome, and I think it's such a big thing for women's sports right now to just get people involved and kind of create that hype. So we were disappointed, but we're hoping to get more fun games like that and continue just kind of creating more hype around CSU women's basketball.
McKenna, you are such a fun player. You're so quick, your ability to score, but the toughness level is off the charts too. I mean, you don't take crap from anybody out there. You kind of possess a little bit of everything, which makes you so freaking dangerous on the floor.
Yeah. You know, I think just the stature that I have, I've always had to deal with some physicality and just being able to handle the stuff that's thrown at me. So yeah, that's just, I try and incorporate that in my game and just have fun with it. And also kind of make sure that nobody knows I'm not going to be taken advantage of or anything like that.
Is that something extra for you? Because you know, okay, I'm not 6'8", okay? So I'm not going out there. I know I have to go out there, and I have to play even bigger, so I have to show that. Is that a fight that you just possessed way early on in your career, way when you were, you know, back in your high school days even?
Oh, 100%. That has been from day one something I've taken in account for. So, yeah, I always try and play bigger than I am and tougher than I am, so I got to prove myself because, yeah, I'm not 6'8", I'm not anywhere close, and I know people see that. So, but I try and go out on that court and make it known from the very beginning that I'm not taking anyone's crap, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I'll tell you what, I don't want to go one-on-one with you, okay? I'm good watching. I'm good just sitting back and watching the action take hold. You have had so many cool honors. You know, back a few years ago, the Mountain West Newcomer of the Year, All-Mountain West, and then, you know, this year, you know, again, how many years? Preseason All-Mountain West team, yet again here today, or this year. Just so many awards just racking up, and here you go. I mean, this season has been absolutely crazy for you. Like mm-hmm. I said earlier, averaging, what, almost 21 points a game. You just continue to put up these monster numbers, even with all the pressure on you.
Yeah, I just, because at the end of the day, I just love basketball and I love playing it, especially with the team that I'm on. So I try not to think too much about the accolades or anything like that and just go out and play and do the best for my team. And they do a great job of helping me, supporting me, and it's been such a fun season. I just can't wait to keep going and get to that conference tournament, and hopefully we get done what we want to get done.
I know those are the goals, and I know it's a long season, and you got a lot of work to do still. Utah State tonight, 6 o'clock, and then on Saturday, this is a fun one. It's a doubleheader at Moby Arena. You guys are hosting New Mexico starting at noon, and then CSU men's basketball is playing against Fresno State at 2:30. That's also the state pride game, too. So Saturday is going to be action-packed. If you're a basketball fan, you got to get out and check this stuff out, and I know you're pumped for that one, too.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be so much fun. I'm hoping that Moby gets rocking, and we get a good crowd, the men get a good crowd, we get two wins, and it'll be a great Saturday for sure.
McKenna, let's do this again, okay? I mean, your numbers are outrageous. They're certainly turning heads all over the place, all over the state, all over the country. So just keep doing what you're doing, and I would love to touch base with you again down the stretch here once we get a few more games under our belt.
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds awesome.
All right, good luck tonight. We love what you guys do. Love this basketball team. And go get them tonight. And then, of course, a big one on Saturday. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was McKenna Hofschild, Colorado State Rams guard, averaging 21.6 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, about 8 assists per game. Her field goal percentage is 56. She is insane. A crazy good basketball player. They're going up against Utah State tonight. All right, 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flow.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Whole show, PDC Energy, live on location at the Budweiser Event Center. Previewing the big AMA Arena Cross Championship happening here tomorrow night. This is a heck of an event. Very cool. They turned this event center into a wild arena cross track. It's gonna be absolutely nuts. So it's cool to be out here. We're talking a lot of different things today. We've been all over the map, but we're happy to get this guy on the show. Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. He's our Nuggets insider. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you, brother.
Happy New Year, Brady. How you doing, man? Been a minute.
I'm doing good. It's good to catch up. I was off for a little bit the last week or so, but it's good to get back into the mix. And, hey, this Nuggets team, I know they lost on the back-to-back to Minnesota, but, hey, they also had a 30-minute delay where dudes are trying to fix a basketball rim or a basket up there the other day. That was hilarious. I felt for those guys, man. The pressure was on.
Man, they were so close to delivering the best and most feel-good win of the season, and they just had to keep their focus for what seemed like 5-6 more minutes. That turned out to be 36-plus minutes, as you pointed out. Ridiculous. Never seen anything like it, but they did hold their focus, and Malone was pleased with that. And a win that, I guess this is easy to say from an optimist perspective, but a win that I think says more about the team than the loss that followed the next night.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, you go in a back-to-back, and it was a longer night than expected. And I think even, you know, guys were sprinting out there to get on the plane and get going. But you look at this game, though, going back to the Boston game, you're right. That game's more important than what the Minnesota game showed, at least for now. We'll see what happens against the Clippers tonight. But you win 123-111. That win and the way they did it certainly at least opens up the conversation of, okay, are the Nuggets in the conversation, not just the best in the West, but maybe the best team in the NBA right now?
Sure, and, you know, Boston now in a bit of a tailspin of their own. They went out and lost to OKC without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and gave up 150 in regulation in their next outing. So it's they're kind of dealing with what Denver was dealing with, you know, at the very start of the season. Okay, they look like a talented outfit. They can beat anyone, but they're taking their feet off the gas. And I think that's something Denver is maybe kind of rounding into form with right now. We've seen a little more discipline. It's harder to say after that Wolves loss, but they seem to be trending in the right direction. My ultimate point here is I think you're looking at a league where no one team has really taken up that mantle. There's four or five teams that could beat anyone, but no one looks to be that fully polished buzzsaw that sometimes exists in the NBA. I don't think you can pick a title winner yet. And of course, there was a time and an era when sometimes we knew that well by Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's what I love. I wondered if this was going to happen a few years ago. I remember kind of talking about it, saying, man, the way these stars are starting to spread out, it's not that we're not getting superstar teams joining forces and such, but you are seeing guys, you know, set up camp in their own place rather than Giannis and Luka saying, hey, dude, let's join forces. They're building up their own teams around them that, you know, that benefit them the most. And we're seeing all these great teams with a lot of great players, which I just think this is the best time to be an NBA fan. We don't know who the clear-cut winner is. We don't know who it's going to be because there are so many players playing at an outstanding level and they're not on the same team. So it's spread wide open and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think there are as many talented players in as many different markets as ever, to your point. Now, we've seen some incredible score lines this season. Some of those factors are good ones, fun ones. Some are a little more maybe detrimental to the health of the game. For example, I think it's virtually impossible to play defense right now. It's illegal for all but save like six, seven guys in this league, in my opinion, and somewhat reputation-based. So it's very, very difficult to slow these stars. But another part of it, to the point that you were just making, another factor is there's simply so many of them. And it used to be, you know, look, there were three, four teams you feared. Now it's if you're not focused, you're going to lose to a lot of these teams, or a star is going to light you up. So there's a lot of talent around the league. What's been fun, though, from the Denver perspective is I don't know if anyone looks definitively more talented than Denver. It's not a lock. Doesn't mean they're going to win it all. But I think you like where they're sitting, at least I do, here in January.
That's a great point about the scoring, too. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, and he's had many years where you go, okay, he's one of the best players, but he's not top five right now, and then he just goes off for 71
right.
points. So, I mean,
right.
These guys are throwing Luka do amazing things. But you're seeing guys like 60 points and a triple-double. I mean, these numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, the Donovan Mitchell line you just mentioned, I think what's going under the radar is that was two rebounds away from being a 71-point triple-double, which maybe tells us something about how we should view these stat lines. You know, as much as I appreciate all the talent around the league, at a certain point, 40 probably starts to mean something different than it used to, right? If it's this attainable. Bring it back to Denver again, though, what's been really cool and what we're so used to is, okay, there's all these guys who have these remarkable peaks, you know, the perfect storm of circumstances, including the factors we just discussed, set up these historic, you know, outbursts or electric outbursts. And then with Jokic, it's, yeah, we've seen the high peak lines, but it's just that it's there every single night. It's remarkable consistency. And so his greatness is not predicated on or attached to these, man, you got to see that on ESPN the next day performances, although he has plenty of those as well. It's really about the, man, every single night, he's hitting his baseline right now, and it's the number one reason why the Nuggets have seemingly turned a corner.
Yeah, no question. He's not having those near misses anymore. He's hitting those triple levels. He's moving the charts again. Maybe he'll pass the game. Yeah, that game is off 30-12 as well. I mean, he should have a number of weeks. And I do have teams that I cover. I keep getting people saying, dude, Where's the issue? Where's the UNC guys? The C Buffs? And like, Joker is just, he's the player of the week every week. And they said, dude, he's going to be. Just make it somebody else. Good he is. He's going to be the player of the week every week because he's that freaking good.
He's kind of at that place now where the, you know, player of the month went to Luka, and I'm not going to complain. First of all, Luka's up to some stuff that Jokic was up to last year. Not really injuries, but no co-stars on that roster. So he's been incredible. But also just, I'm at the point where, yeah, you could make a case for him every week, every month. So I almost don't even care about the award anymore. And of course, the fun thing is we know Jokic doesn't care at all as long as the wins are coming in.
No question. I mean, that's one of the things hearing about him is he just doesn't care. All right, how about the supporting cast? Obviously, Aaron Gordon has the level right now. He's played one of his better seasons, certainly here as a Nugget. Him and Joker are really connecting. It's good to see Porter back in the mix. Where are you with Jamal Murray at this point? I mean, you know he's been recovering from that injury. You're waiting for this guy to get back to what we saw, even close to the bubble. But Jamal's kind of, for better or worse, he's more of an inconsistent player. Is he just a guy, Brendan, or do you see Jamal still possessing the superstar quality that we saw a few years ago back in the bubble?
I think it's one of the biggest questions about the Nuggets right now. And, you know, a lot of people have big rotation questions, and perhaps the simplest solution is that Jamal plays better, right? Like, he spent a lot of minutes with the bench, and those minutes are not going well. Now, I've argued in favor of changing that up, but an alternative perspective is, well, what's really wrong with keeping one of your two best players on the floor? Shouldn't he just play better? Jamal's kind of a funky player. You touched on it. We've seen the remarkable peaks. He's never really been a bastion of consistency, and it's why he's struggled to gain any sort of all-star momentum. That was true before the injury. That said, we have seen the sort of bottom line with Jamal, which is if it's a close game in the fourth, if he's missed 15 shots in a row, I'm still fine with him taking the next one. He knows what he's doing in crunch time, and that's a wondrous quality. But I think it's fair to hope for more, to ask for more. You know, he is too talented of a player to be a one-quarter impact type of guy. So, you know, his all-around impact, he's been kind of a better playmaker. That's great. But the reality is Denver needs him to be an aggressive and capable scorer, especially in those non-Jokic minutes. Now, this all sounds really aggressive. Like, they're the one seed out west. He's figuring it out. You know, I think he's been more helpful than hurtful. But you're right. Like, we're asking questions. We want to know where this team is at the end of the playoffs in June, not right now. And that would require, you know, a better version of Jamal to reach their goals. So I think it's about the time in the season he usually starts ramping up anyway. It would be a welcome sight here. It's one of the, you know, the defensive consistency is a big thing, but Jamal's consistency is kind of one of the few boxes this team has yet to check in terms of what you want to see in the regular season.
Brendan, this is probably a stupid question, a crazy question, but there's no conversation being had of what it would look like to trade Jamal Murray. Now, I personally look at it and go, then you just kind of hurt your depth. I mean, if you move on from Jamal, then Bones is moving up and whatever, but at least it's out there. I mean, you're paying him a lot of money. You want him to take that step. Is that even a thought in anybody's brain at that organization?
I mean, it's not something I've heard, you know. Definitely not something that's on record. It's really not something I've even heard off record, you know, which I wouldn't share with you anyway, but just to clarify, it's not a, like a hot topic conversation, you know. I think the simplest solution is just that he plays better. We know what Jamal's capable of, and we know the chemistry he has with Jokic. And furthermore, I think the identity of this team beyond Jokic's greatness and Jamal is obviously an essential part of that. So I think that would be one of the last layers this team looks at in terms of how you change things up. You never know. I would say things would have to be going a lot worse than they are for that to really be on the table. This the last time Jamal was healthy in the playoffs, he certainly looked like a capable player on that stage. Whether it was in the bubble or not, he stepped it up. So I would assume there is some patience and benefit of the doubt in play here. You know, Jamal's earned that to some extent, for sure.
Brendan Vogt joining me from DNVR Nuggets. Last one for you, Brendan. My poll question today, and I've asked you this before, it's always worth recharging because we're feeling really good about the Nuggets right now. We're feeling like maybe, I mean, this team has just as good a shot as any to at least get to the finals, and then maybe we have this crazy battle between them and Boston. But there we go. There's kind of those expectations maybe that we think this team should be at least in the Western Conference Finals. If they don't get there, what does that mean for Michael Malone? You and I have had these conversations before of what that looks like. If they don't, my brain keeps going back to what Golden State did with Mark Jackson, and maybe that's an unfair comparison, but Mark Jackson kept getting this team into the playoffs, and they were good, and they revived that organization, couldn't get over the hump. Is that a similarity at all? Do you see some pressure mounting for Michael Malone this season and maybe into the next season if they don't reach at least the Western Conference Finals?
Well, sure. I mean, just think back to the start of December. They hadn't really notched a lot of these big wins. The defense had yet to trend up. You know, that Memphis kind of Christmas stretch really changed the whole vibe, and we weren't there yet. And gosh, that seat was warm. Maybe not internally, but in the world that you and I live in and in the world of fans, it was absolutely heating up. That's natural. Malone is, I think, the fourth longest tenured coach in the NBA, and that's he doesn't have a championship yet, right? So if you fail in what the front office has outlined as a championship or bust season, that's a conversation that happens. That's one of the first areas that's kind of natural to look at, right? If we think the team is good enough and they didn't get there, you absolutely look at the coach. You know, I think in the regular season context, Malone has earned almost all the benefit of the doubt, or at least Malone plus Jokic in this version of the Nuggets. They win a lot of games. But the questions have changed. The question is different this year. What can they do in the playoffs? And there's nothing he can do right now, right, to answer that question. There will be tough questions had if they fall well short. And listen, with good reason, like, this team is good enough, and this league is open right now. So there's as much a reason right now to say it's the time, they got to go get this done, you know, as there's ever been.
Yeah, no question about it. Brendan, my man, Happy New Year to you. Always appreciate your insight on all things Denver Nuggets, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. I tell you what, Angel, we're not going to take a break because I know we have a superstar on hold, and you just don't leave superstars on hold, okay? We have McKenna Hofschild for CSU women's basketball. So, Angel, fire up McKenna. Let's get her on the line right now. McKenna, do I have you? Are you there?
I am here.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. I'm on location today. I'm at the Budweiser Event Center preparing for a big event, but wanted to make sure we got you on the program. You have just been flat-out lighting it up. I mean, you've been a sensational basketball player your whole career, but, man, McKenna, you are turning some crazy heads. 37 points against UNLV the other night. You are just rocking and rolling, and it's so much fun to watch you play.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, you guys got, and that was a tough battle. I know into overtime, back and forth with you and UNLV, and that's a good basketball team. I know you guys are a good basketball team, but those are the games you want in this conference, right? You know that this conference is good. They're full of great teams. You got a big one coming up this weekend. Obviously, we have tonight to talk about with Utah State, but that game against UNLV, that was every bit of as entertaining as we want as basketball fans. What was that game like for you, McKenna?
Yeah, it was so much fun. I think for us personally, we knew that that was a team that we kind of have to go through in this conference. They're ranked one. They won it last year. So we knew going into it that that was going to be a fun, hard-fought game. And it lived up to the hype. We wish we would have gotten that win, but we'll be ready next time. But, yeah, that was definitely a fun one to be a part of.
Well, and you were just – and, again, you're averaging 21 points per game. So you're at this point in your career where you could fall asleep and score 20. But then you throw in 37 points, 10 to 15. You get to the free throw line a lot. I think you got to the free throw line 20-plus times or something like that. But what was it in particular that game that you were struggling? We know you score a lot of baskets. That's nothing new to you. But this one in particular, you were unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't know. I was feeling it. I was feeling the energy. I think the environment and the atmosphere that we were part of just kind of helped me feed off of everything around it. And I was just trying to do my part to try and get the win, and things were going well. So it was just, like I said, it was just such a fun game. And playing against UNLV every time is just, you know, we're going to bring our best and they're going to bring their best.
No question about it. We're talking to McKenna Hofschild, CSU Rams women's basketball. They have been rocking and rolling this season. A couple of big games coming up in the next few days. Utah State tonight at 6 o'clock, and then New Mexico at home on Saturday. You know, obviously every game in the conference I know is big, and you're not overlooking anybody, but we know that that New Mexico game is huge. It's going to be a part of a doubleheader for both you and the men's basketball team, too, so it's going to be a fun event. But how difficult is that to say, nope, got to lock into Utah State? We got to take care of this team first before we even think about New Mexico.
Yeah, I think we're just taking it one game at a time, so our focus is definitely on tonight in Utah State and getting this win, and then getting home later tonight and preparing for New Mexico. And I think Saturday will be so much fun. We're hoping to get two good wins for us and the men's and kind of get Moby rocking and start this conference season on a good note.
And you really have, I mean, you beat Fresno State the other night, 64-58, and said you wanted to close that one out against UNLV, but that was a great game. Just going back again to that UNLV game, is it hard to be disappointed? I mean, I know you're disappointed. You want to win. You play these games to win. You're such a competitor. But, man, when you walk away from a game like that, 91-88, overtime, the environment's crazy, is there a part of you that's like, you know what, we lost, but, man, that was some fun basketball?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You're obviously disappointed you couldn't get the win, but just to be a part of a game like that and to have such a fun atmosphere and such a crowd that was involved in the game was it's awesome, and I think it's such a big thing for women's sports right now to just get people involved and kind of create that hype. So we were disappointed, but we're hoping to get more fun games like that and continue just kind of creating more hype around CSU women's basketball.
McKenna, you are such a fun player. You're so quick, your ability to score, but the toughness level is off the charts too. I mean, you don't take crap from anybody out there. You kind of possess a little bit of everything, which makes you so freaking dangerous on the floor.
Yeah. You know, I think just the stature that I have, I've always had to deal with some physicality and just being able to handle the stuff that's thrown at me. So, yeah, just I try and incorporate that in my game and just have fun with it and also kind of make sure that nobody knows I'm not going to be taken advantage of or anything like that.
Is that something extra for you? Because you know, okay, I'm not 6'8", okay? So I'm not going out there. I know I have to go out there, and I have to play even bigger, so I have to show that. Is that a fight that you just possessed way early on in your career, way when you were, you know, back in your high school days even?
Oh, 100%. That has been from day one something I've taken in account for, so yeah, I always try and play bigger than I am and tougher than I am. So I got to prove myself because, yeah, I'm not 6'8". I'm not anywhere close, and I know people see that. So, but I try and go out on that court and make it known from the very beginning that I'm not taking anyone's crap, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I'll tell you what, I don't want to go one-on-one with you, okay? I'm good watching. I'm good just sitting back and watching the action take hold. You have had so many cool honors. You know, back a few years ago, the Mountain West Newcomer of the Year, All-Mountain West, and then, you know, this year, you know, again, how many years? Preseason All-Mountain West team, yet again here today, or this year. Just so many awards just racking up, and here you go. I mean, this season has been absolutely crazy for you. Like mm-hmm. I said earlier, averaging, what, almost 21 points a game. You just continue to put up these monster numbers, even with all the pressure on you.
Yeah, I just, because at the end of the day, I just love basketball and I love playing it, especially with the team that I'm on. So I try not to think too much about the accolades or anything like that and just go out and play and do the best for my team. And they do a great job of helping me, supporting me, and it's been such a fun season. I just can't wait to keep going and get to that conference tournament, and hopefully we get done what we want to get done.
I know those are the goals, and I know it's a long season, and you got a lot of work to do still. Utah State tonight, 6 o'clock, and then on Saturday, this is a fun one. It's a doubleheader at Moby Arena. You guys are hosting New Mexico starting at noon, and then CSU men's basketball is playing against Fresno State at 2:30. That's also the state pride game, too. So Saturday is going to be action-packed. If you're a basketball fan, you got to get out and check this stuff out, and I know you're pumped for that one, too.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be so much fun. I'm hoping that Moby gets rocking, and we get a good crowd, the men get a good crowd, we get two wins, and it'll be a great Saturday for sure.
McKenna, let's do this again, okay? I mean, your numbers are outrageous. They're certainly turning heads all over the place, all over the state, all over the country. So just keep doing what you're doing, and I would love to touch base with you again down the stretch here once we get a few more games under our belt.
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds awesome.
All right, good luck tonight. We love what you guys do. Love this basketball team. And go get them tonight, and then, of course, a big one on Saturday. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was McKenna Hofschild, Colorado State Rams guard, averaging 21.6 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, about 8 assists per game. Her field goal percentage is 56. She is insane. A crazy good basketball player. They're going up against Utah State tonight. All right, 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flow.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show. Again, we're wrapping it up out here. Fun time being at the Budweiser Event Center, promoting the AMA Arena Cross Championship going on tomorrow night. Should be a blast. And again, just want the Hulligans to remember, if you call the Budweiser Event Center ticket office, tell them you heard about them on the whole show, they're going to hook you up with kids' tickets, assuming they're still available. So while supplies last, I suppose, with those 50 kids' tickets that I have for you. So do me a favor, if you have kiddos, man, that you get them in free. This is a heck of a value for you to come out and watch a wonderful event. We've had a chance to talk to several of the writers, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, on the tube tonight, we've got the Denver Nuggets taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. That game is at 8 o'clock on TNT, so that should be a big one as well. Looking forward to it. You have CU taking on Oregon tonight. That's another big game. That's going to be on ESPN2. The UNC Bears taking on Montana State. That's a huge one as well. I mean, you got a lot of interesting games to pick from tonight. The Bears looking to get some, you know, semi-revenge, I suppose, against Montana State. That was the team that knocked them out of the Big Sky Conference Championship last year, sent them home, kept them from getting into the big dance. And we'll see. I was listening to Matt Johnson today, you know, and on getting his thoughts on this game tonight and, you know, what's expected of this group. I think that's a really good basketball team. They just have to find a way to get better defensively. And as Dalen told us the other day, stay dialed in 100% throughout these games, and just, you know, get the pieces working together. They are certainly still are trying to figure out those pieces, and maybe all those things start to click in this Montana State series. You got Montana State tonight, and then Montana coming up on Saturday as well. Man, I don't know. I'll probably be jumping around investigating all three of these big games tonight. Those are all going to be big. So I'm looking forward to it. See if the Nugs can keep it rolling. They lost to the Vikings. Minnesota Timberwolves the other night, but that was on a back-to-back. Let's see. Pressure's on. Michael Malone, maybe heating up. Let's see if this team can really do something special. That's going to do it for us out here live from the Budweiser Event Center. Get your tickets. AMA Arena Cross Championship. That's tomorrow night. Good night, Northern Colorado.